I don't even know your name. Your friends will be okay, I said. This time tomorrow they won't even be limping, unless they choose to keep their injuries for show, and they'll have a very good story to tell in hunt circles. What about your name, then? Call me Tanner, I said, and forced her on. A warm, moist wind blew across us as we crossed the pad towards the arched entrance which led back into Esher Heights. A few palanquins darted ahead of us like moving tombstones. At least it had decided not to rain. Perhaps rain was less frequent in this part of the city, or perhaps we were sufficiently high to escape the worst of it. My clothes were still wet from standing in the mulch, but in this respect Chantrell looked no better than I. The arch led into a brightly lit enclosure, cool with perfumed air, the ceiling strung with lanterns and banners and slowly spinning circulators. The corridor followed a gentle curve to the right, crossing ornamental pools via a stone bridge. For the second time since arriving in the city, I saw Coy gaping at me. "What's the big deal with the fish?" I asked. "You shouldn't talk about them like that. They mean a lot to us." "But they're just Coy." "Yes, and it was just Coy that gave us immortality, or the first steps towards it anyway. They live a long time, Coy. Even in the wild they don't really die of old age. They just get larger and larger until their hearts can't cope. But it's not the same as dying of old age." I heard Chantrell murmur something which might have been, "Coy be blessed," as she crossed the bridge, and allowed my own lips to echo the sentiment. I didn't want to be seen or doing anything unusual. The walls were crystalline, an endlessly repeating motif of bustling octagons, but at intermittent distances they had been hollowed out to admit little boutiques and parlours, offering services in florid scrawls of neon or pulsing holographic light. Canopy people were shopping or strolling, most of them couples, who at least looked young, although there were very few children present, and those I saw might well have been neotenous adults in their latest body image, or even androform pets programmed with a few childlike phrases. Chantrell led me into a much larger chamber, a huge vaulted hall of crystalline magnificence, into which several malls and plazas converged on multiple levels. Chandeliers the size of re-entry capsules hung from the ceiling. The paths tangled around each other, meandering past koi ponds and ornamental waterfalls, encircling pagodas and tea-houses. The center of the atrium was given over to a huge glass tank encased in smoked filigreed metal. There was something in the tank, but there were too many people packed around the perimeter, jostling parasols and fans and leashed pets, for me to see what it was. "I'm going to sit down at that table," I said, waiting until Chantrell acknowledged me. "You're going to walk over to that tea house and order a cup of tea for me and something for yourself. Then you're going to walk back to the table and you're going to look like you're enjoying it. You're going to keep that gun on me the whole time?" "Look on it as a compliment. I just can't keep my eyes off you."
"You're hilarious, Tanner."
I smiled and eased myself into the chair, suddenly conscious of the mulch filth in which I was caked, and the fact that, surrounded by the gaudily dressed canopy strollers, I looked like an undertaker at a carnival. I half expected Chantrell not to return with the tea. Did she really think I would shoot her, here, in the back? Did she also imagine I had the skill to be able to aim the gun from my pocket and not run the risk of hitting someone else? She should have just strolled away from me, and that would have been the end of our acquaintance, and, like her friends, she would have a very good story to tell, even if the night's hunting had not gone quite as planned. I would not have blamed her. I tried to